Welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we are continuing in the second parak of Maseches Sanhedrin. Today we'll be studying Mishnayos Gimel and Dalet. Now, yesterday we left off discussing laws pertaining to the king, and we are continuing talking about the king of Israel. So, Meis lo Meis, if a relative, close relative of his died, Eino Yotze Mipesach Paltir and Shalo. He doesn't leave the palace to go follow the burial procession, as we discussed with the Kohen Gadol, whether he could leave the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're saying the king can't leave his palace. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Im rotzeh letzeis achar hamita yotze. If the king wants to go out after the funeral procession, then he's permitted to. Shekein matzinu b'David, we see that David did this. Sheyatza achar mitasa sha'avner. He went out following the burial procession of Avner, of Abner in English. Shenemar, and it quotes a pasuk, v'hamelech David holich achre hamita. So it tells us that David followed the casket. Amru lo, so the sages responded to Rabbi Yehuda. Lo haya hadavar el lepayis es ha'am. He only did that in order to pacify the people, because there was reason to suspect that he was complicit in this death, so he publicly mourned, only so that they should see that it was not at his command. Ukishimavrinoso, and when they bring him the meal, kol ha'am mesubin al ha'aretz, everyone eats sitting on the ground, v'hu meisev al hadargesh, and he sits on a sofa, because he is still the king. Let us look in the Bartnero on this Mishnah. Eno yotze mipesach paltirin shalo, he doesn't leave the palace. Sheganai hu lemelech, laharos agmas nefesh lifnei ha'am. Because it's a disgrace to the king to show his personal anguish in front of his people. So he has to mourn privately. And David followed Avner's casket, lepayas es ha'am, in order to pacify the people. Kedei sheyakiru Shaloba Eitzas David Harag Yoav es Avner. So that people should understand, they should see from this, that David did not command Yoav to kill Avner. It was not at his behest. Ve'en halachik Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda, the king must mourn privately under normal circumstances. Now we proceed to Mishnah Dalet. Umotzi lemelchemes harishus al pi beistin shel shivim ve'achad. We previously said that the great Sanhedrin of 71 judges is necessary to declare war, so the king goes out to war at the word of the Sanhedrin. Uparis laslos lo derech, and he can break through somebody's boundary in order to build a road that he needs. Ve'en mamachin biyado, and people cannot prevent him from doing so. That's king's right. Derech HaMelech Ein Lo Shiur, and the size or the length, the dimensions of the king's road, there is no prescribed limit. B'chol Ha'am Bozazin V'Nosin Lefanav, when they go to war, they take spoils and they put it in front of him. V'hu Notel Chelek Barosh, and he takes his portion first. Lo Yarbelo Nashim Elashmona Esrei, he cannot have more than 18 wives. That's the maximum number a king is allowed to have. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, Marbehu lo, ubevaj lo yu mesiros es libo. That he can have more than 18, so long as they're not the kind of women who are going to sway his heart. So they have to be upstanding, righteous women. They can't be women who are going to be a bad influence. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, afilo achas u mesir es libo, harize lo yisena. Even one woman who's going to be a bad influence, he's not allowed to marry. Imkain lama nemar v'lo yarbelo nashim. So if he's not even allowed to marry one woman who's a bad influence, then what does the pasuk tell us when it says not to marry more than a certain number of women? Afilu ka'avigail means even like Avigail, like Abigail, the wife of King David, who was a righteous woman. So we actually have here a three-way dispute in terms of the nature and the number of wives that the king may marry, and when we get to the Bartnura, we'll see the specifics as to how that breaks down. Lo yarbelo susim, he's not allowed to increase the number of horses. Elkadei merkavto, he's only allowed to have enough for his chariots. Vekesef zahav, lo yarbelo m'od, and he's not allowed to have an excessive amount of personal wealth. Elkadei litain afsanya, only enough to pay the wages of his standing army. In fact, let's take a quick divergence here. Afsanya, Bartner says, schar chayelos hanechnasim v'yotzim imo kol hashana. Those are the wages of the soldiers who come and go with him all year. And the Tosfos Yontif says, because of ha'aruch shebeloshen yavan koren lahotza afsanya. So the these wages are a Greek word for that. So that's where we get that from. Because of Sefer Torah Lishmo, he has to write a Torah scroll for himself in addition to the one that every person is obligated to write. Yotze lemochama motzia imo, when he goes out to war, he brings it with him. Nichnas machnisa imo, when he comes back, he brings it back with him. Yoshev bedin hi imo, when he sits in judgment, he has it with him. Mesev hi kenegdo, and when he's dining, it's opposite him in an aron. Shenamar, and we learn this from the pasuk, v'haisa imo v'karabo kol yemei chayav, that he should have it with him and read from it every day of his life. So the king is supposed to have this Torah with him perpetually, except, of course, when he's in the bathhouse or something like that. Bart Nuro on this Mishnah. L'machemes Rishus. The king declares the optional war, the non-obligatory war, at the approval of the Sanhedrin. Melchemes Shar Umos, Chutz Melchemes Amalek, Umelchemes Shivas Amamim. So this is war with any nation aside from Amalek and the seven nations when we conquered the land. Uporetz, he can breach. Geder shel acherim, the boundaries of other people. Lasos lo derech, to make a road for himself. Leleches lekarmo ulasadehu, in order to get to his vineyard or his field. When they take spoils, chelek barosh, he takes his portion first. Chelek hayafa boer rishon venotel mechza Mikol Habaza. So he takes half and he gets to choose the best portion. So rank has its privileges. Now he's not allowed to have an excessive number of wives. The limit is 18. El Shemona Esrei. That's the limit. Shahari David Hayulo Sheish Nashim. We see that David had six wives. V'kamar le Navi. And the Navi said to him, the prophet said to him, V'im me'at v'yosifa lecha kehena u'kehena. He says, if that's not enough for you, I can add for you that number and that number again. Kahena kama shesh, so the first kahena is another six. Basra shesh, that's yet another six. Hari shmona esrei. So we see that the Navi was telling him that he was allowed to have up to 18 wives. Marbehu lo, increase to him. Yoter mishmona esrei, he can have more than 18. Ushlosh l'machlokos yesh bedavar. Then there are three opinions here, a three-way disagreement. Tanakama savar nosei shmona esrei vafilu prutzos. So the first opinion says that he can marry 18 women even if they are of poor quality. They are bad influences. Vyoter mishmona esrei lo yisa vafilu kasheros. And more than 18 he's not allowed to marry even if they are fine, upstanding women. Shekach hi gzeras hakasuv, because that's what the pasuk tells us. Rabbi Yehuda feels, Nose shmona esrei vafilo prutzos, he can marry 18 even if they're bad women. Vyoter mishmona esrei prutzos lo yisa, uksheros vahagonos yisa kamoshi yirtze. So more than 18 he can't marry bad women, but righteous women he can marry as many as he desires. Upaligatanakama bechada, and he argues with the first opinion in one aspect. Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion, afilu achas prutza lo yisa. He's not even allowed to marry one woman who's a bad influence. Uksheres v'hagonos lo yisa yoter mishmona esrei. And when it comes to righteous women, he's limited to 18. Upaligatana kama bechada, and he differs with the first opinion in one aspect, v'ad Rabbi Yehuda betarte, and he differs with Rabbi Yehuda in two aspects. So we see it's a three-way machlokas that involves the quantity of women, whether 18 is the limit, and the quality of women, whether the king is allowed to marry unrighteous women or limited only to righteous women. V'halacha ketana kama, and the halacha follows the first opinion, he's allowed to marry 18 women of whatever quality they happen to be. He's not allowed to have excessive horses, el kedei merkavto, only enough for his chariot. Davka susim batalim laharchiv dato ulhis gadel barov susim usur. It's only horses that he would gather in order to make himself great. Look how wonderful I am, I have, you know, all these stables, etc. That's not allowed. Avakadei rachto uparshav lihilachim ba'oivav mutar. But in order to have enough for his chariots and his armies to fight against their enemies, that he's allowed to do. Afsanya, we already said his wages for the army. V'kosev lo sefer Torah lishmo, he has to write a Torah scroll for himself. Chutz mi sefer Torah shechayev kol adam Yisrael liyos lo sefer Torah. This is aside from the obligation that every person has to write a Torah for himself. munach b'beis genazov, and that rests in his storehouse, in his treasury. B'sefer Torah shekosev l'shmo kishehu melech nichnas v'yotzei mo tamid. And the one that he writes for himself because he's the king, in addition to the personal obligation to write a sefer Torah, that's the one that comes and goes with him. Okay, that is the end of Mishneh Dalet. Join us tomorrow, and we will continue this chapter with Mishneh Hay, and then we will begin the third chapter.